Where's your heart this morning? Well, preacher, it's right here in my chest where it's always been. But that's not the real question. The real question is, where's your spiritual heart? Where's your spiritual heart? Turn with me first to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying, wherever your treasure is, you're going to focus in on that treasure. You're going to focus your spiritual mind and your thoughts and your heart on that treasure, whatever it is. Whatever is special to you, you're going to focus on it. You're going to think about it. You're going to value it. And you know, that can change over the period of your life. I remember, I think I was 10 years old, and that was before Dad owned the curb market on the Concord Road, and we sold produce there in the side yard. And Mama did a lot of canning, freezing, and I remember collecting all the seeds out of the peaches, putting them in a basket. And I had a broom handle, you know, that we'd cut off the broom and just a long handle. And I'd pick those up and I'd hit them. Now, you're talking about hitting a peach seed about the size of the end of your thumb with a broom handle. It's not much bigger than your thumb. That took some doing. But here I am, I'm 10 years old, and, you know, I'm thinking, bottom of the ninth inning. We're behind by 3 runs, but the bases are loaded. 2 outs, and I'm at bat. And if I hit the thing and knocked it over the chicken house that was in the backyard, that was a home run, and I was the World Series hero. I probably hit a bushel basket full of peach seeds that summer. Because anytime I didn't have a customer, I was hitting peach seeds. But you know, then you get a little later, maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, and you get to thinking about a girl. Or you girls get to thinking about a boy. And all you think about, wonder what he's doing, wonder what she's doing. Wonder how it'd be to be married to that person. And we just constantly, when can I be with them next? What can I do special for them? And then, you know, later in life, things change. I think I went 50 years or more and never cared a lick about the stock market. Then all of a sudden, the Southern Baptist Annuity Board started tying my retirement to the stock market. And boy, every day I wanted to see if the stock's up or down. And of course, I would get ready to retire right about the time the bottom dropped out in 2008, and I stayed on to 2010, and I was almost back to where I was in 2007. But, you know, many of you had the same experience. Your 401k became a 201k. You know, my heart never was in the stock market till my retirement became a part of it. As a pastor, you know, how can we grow the church? How can we grow the church? What can we do to make the church grow? Our hearts are so, so important, and they focus in on what we treasure. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's where your heart's going to be. Well, a little bit later in this sixth chapter, he says something else. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first. Let your treasure first be on the kingdom of God. Above everything else, everyone else, let your treasure be on the kingdom of God. Now, a kingdom involves a king, an area over which that king rules, and the rules of the kingdom. And Jesus is our King. His Father is our King. And He rules over the whole world, but most of all, He should be ruling over our heart. And He has ways that we should be doing things. And the end result is that Jesus is saying, make me first in your life. Seek me above all else. Make me the most important part of your day. Make me the most important part of your thoughts. Now, how many of us as Christians think and act that way? Our first thought is of Jesus. How close are we to Jesus? You know, I've got some neighbors live down the street, and many of you do too. They're out in the yard, and you just wave at them. Do we get up in the morning and sort of, you know, God's up there somewhere, and we sort of wave at Him? Or does He live within us? The Bible says He lives within us. Seeking Him first. One of the ways you can sort of tell how we're doing is what kind of prayers we pray. Good morning, Lord. I want you to know, I want to remind you, Lord, my washing machine's broke and I need the money to get it fixed. Clothes are piling up, Lord, and I'd really appreciate it if you get the money today so I can get that washing machine fixed. And by the way, Lord, my big toe's killing me. I know you probably gave that to me to keep me humble, but Lord, would you please make my big toe better? Take some of the pain away. Oh, by the way, Lord, I'm on my way to the mall or to Bass Pro Shop for you guys. And I'll talk to you again in the morning and we're out the door. Or do we pray something along this line? Father, it's so good to be in your presence this morning. I come to you in the name of Jesus. You're such a good God. I love you so much. I thank you for the love that you have for me. I thank you that I have a good place to sleep and I slept well last night. I thank you that I had plenty to eat this morning. I thank you that you're blessing me going in and coming out. I thank you, Father, that you saved me from my sin. Oh, by the way, Father, did I mess up any way yesterday that I need to confess? Oh, yeah, okay. Father, I thank you that as I confess this sin, you're faithful and just to forgive that sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And Father, I'm going to stop now for a minute and just listen to see if you've got anything special to tell me. But even if you don't tell me at this moment, then later, anytime during the day you want to interrupt my thoughts or my actions and speak to me, Father, I've got my spiritual ears on to listen to you. And you're just, you know, I just want to tell you how much I love you and how special you are to me, Father. And I just want to please you and honor you and glorify you today. Oh, by the way, my washing machine is broken, but Lord, I thank you that you promised to meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory. So, Father, I thank you that you're going to do that. And, Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, so thank you that my toe's healed. And I thank you for all the other blessings in life, Lord. Lord, I'm listening to you all day long. I'm fellowshipping with you all day long. I've got to go now. I hear my kids waking up. I've got to go make sure they've got something to eat and dress for school. And I'll talk to you later, Lord. Amen. Now, which prayer do you pray? That tells us a whole lot about the kind of relationship we have with the Lord. What's our attitude about being in His presence? You know, like I said, I've got some neighbors I've waved at. They've never been in my yard, as far as I know. I've got some people that come to my door that I don't let in the door. I've got some folks that come in, and man, I can't wait for them to leave. I won't tell you what relationship they are to me, but you know. But you know, then I've got some special friends. that if they show up and they're parked at my house when I get home today, we'll probably still be up talking at 2 o'clock next morning. They are special. Now, how do you feel about the Lord? Again, is he just somebody you wave at? Somebody you greet at the door of your life? Somebody that you, well, I got to do my devotions. If I don't read a verse or two in the Bible, I'm going to feel bad, so I'll read a verse or two. But you see, when we focus on the relationship and not the rules. Now, I've done the rule thing. Okay, I got to read so many verses today. And you say, Ed, what did you read this morning? I can't remember. I read my Bible this morning, but I can't remember. I know none of you have ever done that. But I have. But when it becomes different, Lord, what do you got to say to me today? And I began to look at the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to speak to me. I may not read but a half a verse, or I may read a little bit. And right now, I've got three different devotional books that I read from. And almost invariably, one of those, something just jumps out. It's never the same one. It's just the Lord just has a way of one of those three each morning jumps out at me and says, and I know it's the same way with Pam. I came in there and she was sitting at the table this morning eating her breakfast. She said, did you read, what's that devotional you use?
Jesus Calling
this morning. I said, no, I didn't read that one this morning. She said, it was awesome. You know, God has a way of, when our hearts are seeking him first, he has a way of wanting to love us and to fix us and speak to us. And he just wants to spend time with us. And all day long, if we're seeking him first, we're fixing meals, we're doing our job, we're going to the store, we're doing all of those things, but we're so conscious of his presence when we seek him first. You know, the Lord should never be the kind of person that you greet when you come in the door of the church and you stay and leave him in the church. Now, you know, old time Israel, they had the Holy of Holies. And that's where, quote, the Lord dwelt. And when they were out there in the sheep pasture, the Lord was down there in the Holy of Holies. But you remember when Jesus was resurrected, crucified and resurrected, the veil to the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. And now you can experience the presence of the Lord anywhere. Then through the Holy Spirit who came and fill the church, you can seek him anywhere. And he can be with you anywhere. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. That's God's way of doing things. As we were coming to church this morning, Pam, I'd already looked through some of the Sunday school lesson, and Pam was commenting on some of the things, and you know, about marriage relationships, man woman in marriage, and I said, you know, that won't fly at a lot of churches because they believe anything that any two consenting adults can do or want to do is hunky dory, but not with God. Not with God. Seek his righteousness. Not what seems right to me, but what God says is right. And I know that what God says is right many times flies against the culture of our day. But what God says is right, and it's going to be what's right in the end. It's going to be what is right and what the world's going to be judged on when time is no more. And then, you know, notice the promise. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and some of these things will be added unto you. Is that what it says? All these things will be added unto you. God knows your heart. He knows your need. And God is going to bless you as you seek Him and put Him first in your life. Now, the same message is in the Old Testament. Turn back with me to the book of Psalms first. Psalm 37. Verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Seek Him first. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thy heart. Now flip over to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. He shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We focus on the Lord. And again, the thought is, as we focus on the Lord, He meets our needs, and as our desires are His desires. And you know, the closer you draw to the Lord, the more your desires line up with His desires. The less selfish you become. You want to do what He wants. You wouldn't think of doing anything that He wouldn't approve. You delight in Him, and seeing the pleasure on His face is worth it all. Now that, you know, I hate to talk about me, but I will. I remember the first Christmas we were married. We got married in May, moved into the parsonage at Brush Creek in Labor Day weekend, and they paid me a whole $100 a week. You know, I was raking it in. Came Christmas, and after the children's program on Sunday night, they called me up and they said, "Preacher, we got you a Christmas bonus." They gave me $100. It's my money. Do what I want to with it. Monday morning, I helped one of our church members who worked at Belts in Siler City open up. I was sitting on the sidewalk waiting for them to unlock the door, because my wife had seen an outfit. And if I'm wrong, she can tell you. But I think it had sort of a dark brown pants and a skirt that went with it, and then a vest with some kind of pattern on it. That pretty much right? It cost $100, but hey, I didn't care. I could have done anything I wanted to with that $100, but her desires had become my desires. And the look on her face when she opened it, and she didn't know she was going to, she had seen it, she tried it on, she wanted it. I didn't have the money until they gave the bonus. And the look on her face on Christmas morning is worth it all. Because once I loved her, my desires and her desires became the same. That ought to be the way it is with the Lord. We so in love with him that his desires become our desires. You know, if you think about it, if tomorrow afternoon you went to the mailbox, you get a letter from a lawyer, you open it up, and there's a check for $1 million. And the lawyer says, some long-lost uncle has died and left you $1 million. Taxes have been paid on it, so you don't have to pay any taxes on it. It's your million to do with you as you want. What would you do with it? Hey, I can get 6 Cadillacs. And some people think that the prosperity gospel says that, but the prosperity really understood the prosperity gospel does not say that. The real prosperity gospel says, oh, okay, I can meet some needs for myself, but how much can I bless others? Hey, if that $1 million was mine, I'd pay off the mortgage. I'd get my wife a better car. I'd do some repairs around the house. But while I'm waiting for those repairmen to set up and show up, I'm going to be sitting down at a table, and I've got some list of people that I know are doing great work for the Lord. And I'm going to be saying, Lord, do I send them $5,000, $10,000, $50,000? And I'm going to be writing checks. Because I know there are places that I could send $100,000 to, and that would pay for a crusade, and 80,000 people would get saved. What do I need another Cadillac for? I mean, you know, I got, as far as I know, a perfectly good pickup out there. I don't need a Cadillac. Now, if you've got one, I don't care. But you don't need 6. Red, white, blue, silver. You know, it amazes me, some of these athletes or some of these movie stars or musicians, and you'll read about the $47 million house that they live in, and they got 3 Porsches and 10 Cadillacs and a Hummer and 6 pickups and all this other stuff, and you think, hey, you can't drive but one at a time. The real prosperity gospel is, God bless me. I'll take what I need to meet my needs, and then I'm going to give a lot of it away because I want people to be saved. I want to see lives changed. And you won't see this kind of news on the Charlotte Observer or on TV. There's a Christian magazine that comes to our house, and there's really, really interesting little article in the news section last month. And I guarantee you didn't see this anywhere. I don't think you did. There's a church, and I don't know how they counted their physical year, but there's 53 Sundays in their physical year. So since their budget was set up on 52 weeks, they said, we're going to take that 53rd Sunday, and we're going to bless folks. And I think their ordinary offering was something like $46,000 a Sunday. So they were going to bless folks with that $46,000. But some other folks heard they were going to bless, and next thing you know, they ended up with $154,000. They gave half of it, it was a Baptist church, half of it to the Florida Baptist Children's Home. And they used it to pay for foster care for kids for the next year. The other half of it, they paid on medical debt. Now, some of you know more about this than I do, but the way I understood the article, is that their company, you know, you may owe $100,000 and you can't pay it, and so the hospital will sell it to this company for $5,000, and then that company tries to collect that $5,000. Hospital's glad to get to five because they know they're not going to get to 100. And then this person that bought it for $5,000 going to try to collect as much of it as they can between five and 100 from you. And they said they paid the medical debt for everybody in five counties around that church. Unreal. Anybody see that in the news? You see, that was a church that was seeking Jesus first. It wasn't about what we can collect, it's what we can, how we can bless. How we can bless. And when a church seeks Jesus first, and when an individual Christian seeks Jesus first, the Lord's going to bless. When our desire is to please Him and Him alone. You see, it's interesting. The psalmist in the Old Testament, the writer of Proverbs in the Old Testament, they didn't have the enlightenment that we have. They didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit that we have. And yet, they were saying the same thing Jesus did. Let your life seek God, and everything else falls into place. Now, if we spend our time seeking all of these things and neglecting God, we're going to end up in a mess. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's Jesus' word. It's in red to you and to me. And it's a goal for which we all need to strive. As you have the invitation, if you need to receive Christ, if you need to rededicate your life, if you need to make some other decision, would you come?